This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Morning, Matt. You guys sounded good last couple of hours. I listened to a little bit while I was waiting in line, but then I had to get on the airplane and everything and smooth sailing to Kentucky. Guys had a good workout yesterday. How was the remainder of your day after I ditched you following the first hour?
Well, hey, man, happy to be here. Glad you made it. I know that you usually have a collection of gold stars to hand out. I was going to hand one out today. C-Unit, I thought, did really well, some of his best work. So we held it down. It's not the same without you, but we, you know, the work still has to get done, and we had to do it.
Well, it didn't feel the same for me. You know, I wasn't talking sports with you guys or whatever, or the halftime homework at the time where I usually am. It's just very odd for me during any hour between 11 and 2, Monday through Friday, if I'm not looking at you through the FaceTime or, you know, talking about some music that we might be kicking around on the show, or, you know, who's going to be visiting next to be the next Razorback basketball player or the baseball team or anything. Just felt weird for me. But it didn't keep me from falling asleep on an airplane because it's impossible to stay awake.
Yeah, you look refreshed. The thing that C-Unit did, he picked the Sea Timberwolves, man. He said you heard it here.
The Sea Wolves.
The Sea Wolves are going to get the Chicken McNuggets. I don't know how many games, but I heard it here first.
What happened with your boy Patrick Beverly yesterday, Matt?
He got a little fired up, didn't he?
Isn't he always fired up? I think he was a little extra fired up yesterday. Man, I only read what happened. And I don't know, you throwing balls into the stands and hitting people in the head. Let's be a little better about things.
Yeah, I saw the clip, and because it looked like he was like, here, throw me the ball, and then he threw it at him. Then afterwards, he was telling the reporter, you know, you got to subscribe to my podcast, which all these players, I guess that's another way that they make income. It's another just easy trickle-in income, and so that's part of it, but yeah, it was kind of reminded me a little bit of a Cam Newton after the Super Bowl loss. You know, kids, you got to – I think as a fan and as a former player, you got to kind of put it in perspective that, man, they're heated, they're hot, they just lost, they're competitors. Sometimes you got to take a walk for 30 minutes and cool down before you go in front of the media. And I think that's just one of those deals where he needed to cool off a little bit and let his emotions get the best of him. You know, I think, and also, Phil, that's what makes him great is how grimy of a defensive player he is, that kind of attitude he has. I don't really hold to – you can't throw the ball at the fans, so I'll get you there. But with the reporter getting back and forth in it, I don't really buy too much into that.
Yeah. I mean, nobody reacts. Nobody feels good when your season comes to an end. And there's got to be a little bit of a, I don't know, is anger the right word that you can allow to come through?
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen players react, you know, where they just resigned to it. And, you know, and I even have those same emotions when I'm watching, like last year when Arkansas was getting blown out by TCU in the final game of the Fayetteville Regional.
You feel helpless?
Well, obviously I feel helpless because there's nothing I can do about it. But it also is like that game was so obvious how it was going from the third inning on. You just kind of could go through the stages of grief while the game was being played. You know, I experienced all of that. Anger was one of the things I remember feeling. And then just being resigned, I was, all right, it's over. We had a good season. I hate that it's over, but it's over. Hopefully I won't be feeling that for a good long time. But I think, you know, with Beverly, it's just a little, you know how when you might, like, push your, well, let's put it in these terms. I've been accused of having angry handwriting. You know what I mean? Like I push down a little too hard just because that's how I write. I don't know if I'd call it angry handwriting, but it might look like it's a serial killer's handwriting. His handwriting yesterday tore through the paper. You know what I mean? It's like he always has angry handwriting. He always presses down hard, but he tore through whatever kind of paper, however thick it was, he tore through it yesterday.
It's like Kevin Hart said. He's like, why are you gangbanging at breakfast, man? Why are you mad at eggs? You just wake up upset at everything.
Yeah, some people can't help but be angry and like act angry and everything.
A bit of an attitude.
Like
yep.
Every single move you make, there's a little bit of a snarl or a growl or something like that. I'm being really well behaved. I have to say, it's funny how I started the show yesterday. I was telling you, I was, you know, just joking around, going in enemy territory and going to be, you know, going to get heckled by all the fans because I'm wearing Razorback red and everybody here is, you know, angry about the Razorbacks when they're here in Kentucky. And I got to tell you what, this has been an interesting day already. So, I mean, it's raining in Kentucky. It should, we might be able to get this game in tonight as long as it's not thundering and no lightning. I think we'll be able to play because it's an all-turf field. You don't have to worry about anybody getting, you know, slipping because of dirt or mud. And I don't think it's going to rain heavy. It should stop for a few hours. And then by 5:30 Central, we might actually be able to get this game in. So you get that. It's Oaks Day in Louisville. And here in Lexington, you're an hour away. So this is essentially a landing spot for all sorts of people who couldn't get flights to Louisville or hotel rooms in Louisville or cars in Louisville. Well, they just do it out of Lexington. So our hotel this morning, filled with people that aren't even spending the day in Lexington. They're already in Louisville. And then it's graduation day here in Kentucky, too. So it's just, and then it's like, it's weird because this is a huge baseball series, Arkansas-Kentucky, huge baseball series. It's like fourth on the list for people here in Lexington this weekend.
Is Lexington similar to Arkansas as far as if you're talking population, big cities, the people? It's still got a little southern feel to it, a little southern hospitality. I mean, you've lived in Arkansas, what, 20 years now?
Or going on 24 now.
Yeah, as I say, you kind of get the Arkansas way. Kentucky, does it have that small town vibe to it, or are you just, you're in the city and on the campus?
I think it's got a little bit of a bigger feel to
okay.
it, a little
okay.
bit.
But
yeah. I think Lexington is bigger than Fayetteville. I don't know about, like, the surrounding area, how it would compare to Northwest Arkansas or like in Central Arkansas.
Fort Knox there, so I mean that's big time right there.
I think we flew over Fort Knox yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Tried to look down and see if I could count the bars of gold. But it's already a weird day because this is the first we've been doing this radio show, Matt, since 2018. Well, me, where the halftime's been on since 2018, and so the first baseball series we would have done on halftime would have been in the 2019 series. So that's 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the sixth season that we're doing halftime, which means I've done this show from every ballpark in the SEC, from every hotel, from my bedroom in Pittsburgh where I grew up when I was visiting home, all these other places. Today's the first day I've ever been denied doing the show at the ballpark where the Razorbacks are playing on the road.
You're a spy, Phil.
They said no today.
Yeah.
Still bitter about
they're
that.
A little upset. I think there's a song. Yeah, oh, you're a spy. I get it. Yeah.
So you know what they've done now? I mean, so the Matt, who's the SID for baseball, I don't think this really is his decision. I think this is coming from someone else who's a little bit probably just very secretive about things going on involving his baseball team. That's the only way I can view it. He did set me up with a different Matt Jones today, Matt. Now, you might have heard of this guy. I don't know. We've got Matt Jones, you. There's Matt Jones, who covers Razorback Athletics at Whole Hog Sports. And then there's Matt Jones, who is the radio guy from KSR, Kentucky Sports
there's
Radio, who runs this whole situation here and is kind of, I would say he is the leading sports talk host in all of Kentucky. When it comes to the Wildcats, there's no doubt about that. He's famous. He's Twitter famous. He's locally famous and everything. And he's built a little empire, which includes the KSR Grill downtown Lexington, where they host all of their shows. And they opened the place up for me to do the show today. Well, I mean, they already finished their show. KSR finished right as we got on the air. Matt with a couple of his co-hosts, and they put me on the show. Everybody has been very, very nice. But it did feel weird today, Matt, to walk into a place that literally is branded with Kentucky Athletics, where I'm the only, well, there is one other gentleman in here wearing red, but it's a Washington Nationals hat. So there's nobody wearing Razorback red in here. I stand out, not just like a sore thumb, I stand out like a hand without a thumb. So it's just a little bit of a different day. So once the show ends, I got to book it to Kentucky Proud Park. There's no special park or anything. You know, there's all these crowds. They're expecting a sellout crowd, and that there's everything going on with graduation. So I don't know. I'm gonna be on hustle time, Matt. I'll be on 11 out of 10 as far as energy is concerned. Once we conclude the show, so I got to get over to the ballpark. I'll get there right about the same time the baseball team does, and kind of plug in and watch BP, talk with DVH, and get ready to go. But I do feel weird. It is the first time that I've ever been denied doing the radio show at an SEC ballpark. And the last time we were here in 2019, they were fine with it. I sat in there, did a radio show on a Friday, on a wet Friday, and that was it. But there's 14 ballparks in the SEC. I think I've done a radio show from every single one of them. And this is the first time I've been denied. Now, it's up to them. I'm not complaining. I got a place to do it. It just feels weird. What is it I'm going to do there that's going to lead to anything happening on the field later on? You know how I don't believe in the broadcaster's jinx, Matt? Well, I think we might have an SEC coaching staff that believes that broadcasters are spies.
That's what I thought. I wouldn't have let you in either. I think that's the smart move. They're getting wise. They're getting wise to it, Phil. The question, I do have a serious question. Are they going to pitch their number one against Hagan Smith, or are they doing the flip?
No, they're going to be starting. They're starting their guy. They're starting Trey Pouzer today.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not making any changes in the rotation. In fact, their rotation has been identical in every SEC weekend except one, and they're not changing that up at all. And you know, this is such an interesting series because these two teams have identical SEC records, but they do things in much different ways. Kentucky's got this high-powered offense that's built on speed and contact and moving runners around, and every once in a while they'll hit a home run. And the Razorbacks, you know, obviously have a lineup that's been hot and cold. The pitching staffs have been really successful. Arkansas specializes in missing bats. I mean, they lead the country in strikeouts per nine innings. Kentucky's got one of the better ERAs in the country without striking a ton of guys out, so they rely on their fielders quite a bit. I don't think any of their starting pitchers average more than a strikeout per inning. Every single Razorback starting pitcher averages well over a strikeout per inning. So it's a, you know, these two teams are successful. They do things in totally different ways. The coaches have, I think, different approaches to how they handle things. And Dave Van Horn would have never been on top of a coaching staff that would tell the visiting announcer, no, you can't do the broadcast here, because he just doesn't care.
It seems a little weird. Yeah, there's something else going on. They're just not into Arkansas right now.
You think they're going to let me in the ballpark today?
That's the better question. You better have all your credentials. You know, have the lanyard over the suit where they, you know, you're at about two forms of ID.
I haven't worn a suit to a baseball game in years. Maybe today might have to be the day I do it, which means you're probably going to have to take the last hour by yourself so I can go buy a suit and get it fitted. I don't want to do that to you again, you so I just might show up in my collared Razorback shirt.
Aziz Ansari, he has a store called Rent-A-Swag. You could get you something right there, and then you just return it back in, so you're good.
Rent-A-Swag. Man, that's great. You know, I don't need the I don't need the attitude. I got the swag attitude. I just need the swag clothing, because I don't have any of that. Halftime will be a lot of fun on this Friday, which does include the Golden Hour. It does include all these Kentucky fans that were watching KSR Radio. They weren't interested in watching the Razorback sports show. They're gone. It's because Kentucky Oaks is running pretty soon. Oaks Day has started, and, man, that is a wet track. That is a very wet track. James Teague, hour number two from the Teague Law Firm, getting into this Razorback-Kentucky baseball series. And in just a moment, we're dialing up Aaron Torres, who knows Kentucky basketball. He knows KSR. He knows Razorback athletics. I think this will be an interesting talk with AT.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
We have Aaron Torres with us, as usual, on a Friday morning from the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast and Fox Sports Radio. Hey, AT, I am at KSR Grill in downtown Lexington. Was just sitting by your boy Matt Jones for a little bit here while they were doing their show. It's just funny how things work out sometimes, because I know you know some of these guys, and, you know, I got Matt Jones, who's my co-host. There's a lot happening here.
Do you have to use a code name if we want to talk Arkansas basketball today? Like, do we have to say Coach C? Yeah, what do you think of Coach C's move this week? How are we handling that? Yeah. I don't want you getting jumped. I don't think you get jumped, but I do think harassed and told how terrible he is and how Arkansas is going to stink in losing the first round of the tournament next year. I do think you will get quite a bit of that. If you say the C word out loud and not the C word that other people are thinking, I'm talking, of course, Calipari. Hopefully nobody can hear me say that out loud.
Well, they're being very nice about it here. Nobody heckled me when I walked in. The place was full, everybody wearing blue, except for one gentleman wearing a Washington Nationals hat, and he's walking out now. And they even had me on KSR for a segment, and
really?
We'll put it in these terms. Now, they do, I think they're entertaining. I've listened to them quite a bit.
Sure.
I'm here for a baseball series. It's a huge baseball series. It's for the lead in the SEC. They've sold out Kentucky Proud Park for this weekend and everything. They didn't ask me one thing about baseball. It was all about Cal. It was all about the temperature in Arkansas. It was about Arkansas NIL. That's what it was about. But it was respectful.
Wow.
I'll put it that way.
Well, I might have to go back and listen. You know, let me ask you. I mean, I think I know the answer to this. And if Matt's there, I apologize for turning this into a Phil special here. How would you describe the temperature? I think I know, but I'm curious for your perspective on what we've seen, the successes in recruiting, the roster that's coming together, the pieces that may still be on the way. Like I said, I think I know just because I talk so much Arkansas on my show, but curious for your perspective as well.
I mean, I think, and Matt, you can answer on this too. I think there's an excitement that I don't know if I've felt before for basketball at Arkansas in late April and May. You know, I felt that kind of excitement in March when Muss's two Elite Eight teams made their runs, and you had the Sweet 16 team too. But I think there's also a little bit of like a cautious excitement that now starting to build a little more, because you're seeing the beginnings of the roster that he's putting together here. Would that be the fair way to put it, Matt?
Well, there is excitement, and you have to remember that it's the L.A. Lakers. When you're the Arkansas Razorbacks and you got Coach Cal, I mean, that's our professional team. That's where everybody everything's under a magnifying glass right now, and there is a little hope. You know, you feel like you're going to get some athletes and have a little hope. Phil, my question is there any – Coach Calipari swag up on the had they already taken it all down? You know, like when Barry Zito was taken down from the Oakland A's when the money ball was over. Do they still have Coach Cal paraphernalia up there?
I'm looking around right now. I don't see any Calipari stuff up on the walls behind
them. They're a little scorned.
Well, I don't know. There aren't any marks that they've torn anything off the wall yet. So I'd have to do like a real forensic search if I'm going to give you the right answer here.
Well, and you know what, if I could jump in, you know, listen, and this is what we've talked about since the news broke 3 or 4 weeks ago, is I think a lot of things can be true. I think that Kentucky fans have a right to feel frustrated with how the seasons have ended the last couple of years, based on not only the school's history, but Calipari's history early on as a head coach. What I also think is true, and I think this is something that Kentucky fans are diminishing a little bit, there have been really good regular seasons that just haven't ended the way that they wanted. And this is, you know, this is something we've already talked about, guys, but I push back all the time on, well, you know, going with freshmen, it doesn't work. It's like, when I finished second in the SEC this year, in the toughest SEC that we've ever seen. And so it didn't work. It just didn't end in the tournament with the result that you wanted. And so I know we've talked about it. I know it's water under the bridge at this point, but I think a fresh start is good for everybody. Coach Cal can still coach. Ask Rick Barnes how it went the final day of the regular season this past year. Ask Nate Oates, who made a Final Four but got run out of the gym against Kentucky. Coach Cal can still coach, but I think the KSR guys would say this. I think I've heard them say this. I think the message wore a little bit thin on that fan base and that team. And I think a fresh start is great for everybody. I know they're very happy with their head coach, and I think, frankly, Arkansas fans should be as well.
Hey, Aaron, I wanted to ask you about a point guard. I know you've seen him play, Tyler Kolek from Marquette. I think he's the number one point guard in the portal. Is he going back to Marquette, or where do you think he ends up?
Is Tyler Kolek in the portal?
Is he not in the portal?
I'm not being sarcastic.
No, when I saw that he was in the portal, I thought, man, that's crazy. I couldn't believe he was in, but maybe he's not. Maybe I saw misinformation, because I thought, man, that's the best point guard coming back in college basketball.
He would be, no doubt. I'm searching now. I know when he – now, listen, what I would say is I know when he – the season ended, he put out a statement that he would not be returning to college basketball. But listen, a lot of these guys say it. And when you factor in NIL, whether it's a Norchad O'Meara, a whoever, I'm trying to think, who's the big one? Coleman Hawkins that just went in from Illinois, who's a four-year college player at the University of Illinois. I think everybody's keeping their options open, but unless something broke in the last, I haven't really been online today, so maybe it's broken in the last couple hours. But obviously with that deadline passing, I don't think I've seen that. But if he's available, he's the best player available. And, you know, call up Jerry Jones and whatever everybody else is offered, make sure to double it, because if he was somehow available, I think he'd be the best player available.
Well, but Matt also hits on something that, you know, the team needs right now. When you look at the six players you got the commits from, you know, you got Knox and Richmond, who I think play the same position. Boogie Fland is a shooting guard. So is Janelle Davis. You got the two centers in Jonas Adu and Big Z. I think Adu Tierro, if he does commit, and I know he was on a visit this past week, he's a power forward. So, I mean, you need a point guard, and that's one thing that Arkansas kind of struggled with last year, too.
No doubt. No, and you know, I saw, I think it was Matt Norlander had that Davion Smith might be on campus this week. He's one of the last kind of remaining guys. I'll say this. I know, and I don't know if Arkansas fans even pay attention, but DJ Wagner, I know there's a lot of negativity around him because he was the number one recruit in the class. It didn't work out well. And frankly, I think there was a lot of negativity with Kentucky because you had two lottery picks in Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham coming off the bench, and DJ continued to start. I bring all of that up to say I'm actually very high on him. I mean, you go back and look at his numbers. He got injured. Actually, I think it was the Arkansas game or right before the Arkansas game at Bud Walton that he got injured, and he was never really the same player down the stretch. And again, Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham were kind of these ascending stars. And so I just bring it up because I would assume, I know he visited, ironically, USC this past weekend. I would assume with his family ties to not only Coach Cal, but, you know, Kenny Payne and his grandfather were teammates at Louisville. I would assume that Arkansas is still the favorite. And I actually think, to your point, Phil, he fits perfectly with both Boogie Glenn and John L. Davis, because if you have John L. Davis running the point, it takes away what he can do offensively. I think he's capable. And then, you know, you just don't want a freshman in the SEC having to play point guard. He can be your secondary or third primary ball handler or whatever. So to answer your question, Phil, I think, to me, that's probably the biggest remaining need. I think even more so than front court depth, shooting, whatever. And if it were to be DJ Wagner, I think I'd be higher on that than a lot of other people who seem to be down on DJ after the season that he just had.
Who else is really making a big impact in the portal in the SEC? I know, because we're focusing so much on Arkansas, and it's a total rebuild. It's the same at Kentucky. It's a total rebuild. But it seems Alabama is also kind of, you know, doing pretty well in the portal after a Final Four run.
I'll tell you, you know, and it's not a surprise, and we know the money in the SEC is just different for a number of different reasons. I don't think it's hyperbole to say just about everybody is. You know, I look at, you know, Missouri. How about Missouri? Didn't win an SEC game last year. They've added Mark Mitchell, who's from Missouri originally, a Duke player. You know, he was a one-and-done type talent, and it didn't work out. He averaged, I think, 11 a game at Duke last year. So you average 11 a game on an Elite Eight team, you're not terrible, maybe even if you haven't reached your potential. They added a veteran guard named Tony Perkins from Iowa. So Missouri, I think, will be much improved. Is it enough to get over the top? We don't know. We just mentioned John L. Davis. His teammate Elijah Martin from Florida Atlantic is headed to Florida. And I've said this very publicly. I really doubted the Todd Golden hire, super young guy, when he got that Florida job. They make the tournament this year, you know, assuming there's no crazy departures. They have a few guys testing the draft waters. I think they're a factor. And then, obviously, outside of Kentucky and Arkansas, which are complete rebuilds, the one you just brought up, Phil, we got to give credit to Alabama. You know, I they've been able to tweak. And I think, you know, the one thing about Alabama, I think they're in the weird position of having to build a team without knowing if Mark Sears is back. So how many guys do you take? You hope to have him back, but you're not sure. So I would list all of those schools as having success, obviously, in addition to Kentucky and Arkansas.
Hey, Aaron, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, which one of those schools has the better inaugural season in the SEC basketball world?
It's going to be Texas. You know, and it was funny because when I said everybody in the SEC has gotten better, Oklahoma hasn't. And I, like many, was just wrong on Porter Mosier. I don't know what's going on, but they were bad last year in the Big 12, and they've lost basically everybody. One of their guys actually transferred to Kentucky. Another one's headed to Houston. Another one's headed to Georgia Tech. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't think Texas is going to be very good in year one relative to the teams they're going to have to face. I think they're probably in a spot to finish fifth, sixth, seventh, somewhere in there. But compared to Oklahoma, Oklahoma could be in a lot of trouble in year one in the SEC.
AT, let's leave it there. Always appreciate talking with you, and maybe we'll still be talking basketball in like 3 weeks. Who would have thought that, man?
I know. Well, dude, enjoy the baseball series this weekend. I got to make sure to tune in.
Absolutely. That's right. Anytime Arkansas and Kentucky meet on the baseball diamond, throw the records out. It's Aaron Torres with us.
I didn't know the record was that good this year for Kentucky, but I know you guys got to go. So.
No, they do. They're tied with Arkansas in the SEC lead, 16-5, man. It's kind of crazy when you look at that, but that's what's happened. It's Aaron Torres. He'll be with us next Friday as well. You can download his podcast anywhere you can get a podcast. It's the Aaron Torres Bunch podcast, and he's also on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting when you look at the idea that none of the games of this weekend are televised on either SEC or ESPN or ESPN2 or the U. They're all available on Plus because they choose the matchups in January, what's going to be televised. That tells you they didn't think Kentucky was going to be any good. The folks at ESPN, and when you look at the preseason rankings, I don't think anybody thought Kentucky would be as good as they are because they're a completely different team than they were last year.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Hickey & Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey, we've got James Teague with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, former Arkansas pitcher, member of the Teague Law Firm, someone who knows what it's like to be heckled while he's getting ready in a bullpen. James, nobody's heckling me while I'm doing the radio show here at KSR Bar and Grill, but it's a little different when you're warming up in a bullpen. Somebody's always going to shout something at you, probably starting with your uniform number.
Yeah, you learn to have some thick skin, because if you don't, you won't make it very long, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do you ever see anybody go back at the fans? You know, not in a way like Patrick Beverley did the other day or yesterday, where he threw a ball into the stands. He was aiming it at a player but missed. But, you know, I mean, you're told to not react, you know, but every once in a while it must be a little difficult to not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, the hecklers are going to heckle and they're going to do their thing. You got to just do your thing. And you probably ask those guys, well, would you rather be up in the stands yelling at somebody or down here on the mound? I think they'd all choose to rather be on the mound. So you just take that for what it is and get back to work.
Well, here's a little taste of home up on the TVs here at the KSR Bar and Grill is showing a race from Oakland, so it makes me almost feel like I'm back home for a moment. James, it's Derby weekend. We've been here twice for Derby weekend 2019 as well. I don't think that was the case in 2016. Are you into horse racing at all?
So I've been to Oakland a couple times. I've not been very successful. Robert, he made the trip up there, and so he's going to the game and then going over to the Derby, so I think he's a big race fan, but he's made quite... It makes for quite the weekend if you plan accordingly, but I'm going to be at home with kiddos watching on TV.
Robert being James's father, who, of course, he works with. That's right. And I know Coach Pittman has said he's going to be coming up here for the Derby. I don't know if he's visiting baseball because he's with a family that's got a horse that's running in the race. Hey, James, the team that Arkansas is playing here, Kentucky, they play differently offensively than just about any other team in the SEC. You know, they're gonna move runners around. If they get first, you got to get men on base for them to be able to do the things that they want to do. You know, and I guess that's the first thing you can look at. Well, all right, you got a team that likes to steal a lot of bases. They're gonna move run. They're gonna bunt. You know, they're gonna hit and run. One way to keep them from doing that is to, you know, I guess it's too simplistic to say, is not let them get on base.
Yeah, that's true. And the problem that you have is, you know, forces you to throw the ball, forces you to be accurate and to, you know, not make mistakes, you know, just doing the basic things. And, you know, I always hated a team that would run because as a pitcher, it's just kind of another issue to have to worry about. I'd rather the team, you know, that just wants to hit for power and then you can kind of focus more on the hitter. But, you know, we've seen PFPs hurt a lot of teams, you know, the pitchers stealing their position. We've seen it come to bite us, whether it be bunting or stealing this or that. So it's just another variable that I think makes it difficult.
Well, and they're going to – part of it is not necessarily like the small ball that they play, the bunts, the steals, the hit and run, the taking the extra base. It's the thought in the back of the opponent's mind, you know, that there could be something happening almost on any pitch with a base runner or two base runners. And, you know, they're trying to take your focus away from the batter, and that's always one thing that I feel like Dave Van Horn preaches – you know, as far as pitching is concerned, he lets Matt Hobbs worry about that. But you can see they don't hold runners on in some situations in ninth innings when other teams will. They'll let guys take a base because they want the focus to be on the batter.
Yeah, and for some guys, too, especially coming in the bullpen, you know, you got to be, you know, 1-3, 1-4 to the plate where guys are just going to steal on you. It's just math of how quick the catcher can, you know, throw the guy out at second or third. And some guys, their natural delivery is not 1-3, 1-4. It's more like 1-5 or 1-6. And so then you're thinking about, now I got to be quick to the plate, and then now maybe my mechanics, my timing is a little bit off. And so, you know, most coaches, I think, these days, you know, have guys on the clock. They're forcing them to be quicker to the plate, you know, to try to build up that muscle memory. But
some guys are tougher than others, especially big guys who maybe don't have as much fast twitch, and so it's just another variable to be concerned with.
You know, I think Kentucky would like to have the rules that they play with in professional baseball, where you can only have the two pickoff moves, and you know, where you can have a third, but if you don't get him out on the third try, then it's a balk and he just gets the base. You know, I mean, I don't know if college baseball will ever come around to that kind of a rule. You know, because college baseball is a holdout from some of the rules changes that have been instituted in professional baseball, and not just the majors, but the minors as well. You know, it would be different as a pitcher if you are held to two pickoffs. It just would.
And you know, what's funny about that. One of the hardest things to do, I always thought, is the long hold. You know, where the pitcher is trying to hold the guy on, and they always teach you, you know, to come set, and you're trying to kind of freeze the guy at first and mix up your time. But for me, I kind of wanted to just come set and go. And so the other variables, okay, now I'm holding for a long time. Am I going to pick? Am I trying to, like, deke my pick to where it doesn't look like it's obvious that I'm going to pick off? And a lot of people didn't notice about me, but my left eye is actually blind. And so I can't see the runner at first. So I would have a signal with the catcher where he would have a pinky, you know, a pinky out on his sign hand that would tell me when I needed to pick. Because I frankly could never see him. And that was something that, fortunately, the scouting report never really got out on that. But if you were ever on first base on me, I don't see you over there. So if you have a huge lead, the catcher better let me know.
That is something you got to hide from opponents, isn't it? Because,
yeah.
Absolutely. How have you always been blind in one eye?
Yeah, I had an accident when I was four, and it was at a fork going by, actually. So I have very, very minimal vision in my left eye, and so that was one of the reasons I couldn't hit very well is because I couldn't, curveballs especially that kind of like start at you, I'd lose them, and then they'd kind of reappear. So I tried to swing, you know, from the left side, that didn't work, and so I just said, oh, I'll just pitch. Well, I didn't think about it. As I got older, holding runners became a real problem.
It's fascinating to me to think about this because so much about sports, not just baseball, but sports with a ball, any kind of a sport, is based upon your vision. But this is something that it must have felt natural to you because if it happened at age four, you know, you learned to throw a baseball with having vision in just one. It wasn't like you had to necessarily adjust, but did it ever make it difficult to pitch?
A little bit, yeah. I changed my mechanics where my head was a little bit more straight on, and I always threw from the right side of the rubber instead of the left side because your body's a little bit more open. You're not turned so far. I actually threw a lot better from the left side because there was more of an angle. You know, it was a better breaking ball kind of coming across, kind of more of that sweeper type move, but I frankly couldn't see well enough. When I got into pro ball, they forced me to wear goggles as a liability protection because they said, well, you know, if the line drive takes out your right eye, you know, we could technically be on the hook for, you know, long-term disability because now you can't see out of either. So I had to wear these big protective goggles, and I couldn't see out of them, and it was a whole fit that I had with the organization. But, yeah, luckily to me it happened when I was young enough that my brain kind of adjusted. It wasn't like my eyes had already learned how to operate, and then I had to relearn. So I never really knew anything different being four when it happened. But, it was interesting trying to keep that under wraps as time went on.
James Teague with us from the Teague Law Firm, former Arkansas pitcher. And you said a word earlier that I think just became popularized in the state of Arkansas based on the Peyton Holt deke from last weekend against Florida, game one Saturday. It's a term that I use because I'd heard it before, but not everybody had heard that term. The deke heard round the world. Everybody asks, like, we've never seen anything like that before. I'm assuming you hadn't seen anything like that before either, but it's a play that will stand out in our memories. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
No, I couldn't figure out what happened. I was watching at home, and I thought, why did he not run? What's going on? And went back and saw it. And I was like, oh, that's genius. We never practiced that. I never saw anybody at all the time I played practice that or do that. So I think it just caught him off guard. It was not something that you really look for. I know some guys will kind of deke up high and then they'll basket catch it to kind of throw off the timing, but I've never seen kind of the arm up and down deke in the way that he did it. But, yeah, I mean, in hindsight, you know, really won the game if you think about it.
It did. There's no doubt it did. I mean, it kept the tying run from scoring. It was amazing. And now I saw it on Wednesday. I don't know who it was, but it was one of the pitchers that's in the outfield shagging during BP. And he even tried a deke. He practiced the deke. Now everybody wants to try doing this. And I can just imagine, be careful. Be careful. Broken noses can happen.
Yeah. The last time I was out in the outfield trying to shag balls and be a superstar out there, I wasn't paying attention. And me and Ben Attendee had a collision. And I realized that would have been my scholarship and my one-way ticket out of Arkansas. So I decided that I was going to stay away from the outfield and let him do his work. You know, God forbid I, you know, roll his ankle or something, and I hit the road.
Well, it'd have been better than like running into Christian Wilkerson, right? I don't know who'd have gotten the worst end of that. He was built like a brick house.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone. Maybe Spanberger. I was with him. He was a strong guy, but Wilkerson. Once we were messing around in the locker room, kind of wrestling, and that went on for about 5 seconds, and I realized this guy's way too strong for me. I'm not messing with this guy anymore.
Hey, of course, James is with the Teague Law Firm and has been so for a few years now. The Teague Law Firm has been around for nearly 30 years, helping you, your family, and friends through tough times. They can help with any family law matter, anything involving criminal law. They can help with estate needs. And, James, I know sometimes, you know, you get two parties that sit down and they need to be able to hammer out some kind of an agreement, and you can help out with negotiations too.
Yeah, exactly. I think one thing that's really important is having context for what would the judge do. If we were to go before a judge and try this case, what would he do? And that really requires an understanding of the law and being in court a lot. You know, in our business, we're in court all the time. Last couple of weeks, I haven't even seen my dad that much because he's in one court, I'm in another, and, you know, vice versa, back and forth. And so it's to really understand the law and know what are the parameters or what is the likely outcome if this goes to court. And then how can we use that knowledge to then negotiate a result that's either as good or better than that result? And I think that's something that we do a good job at. And, you know, just based on the experience and the court time that we have, being familiar with the judges, familiar with their staff, and knowing, okay, here's the likely outcome. How do we make sure we achieve this or better in terms of negotiating this case?
James, always enjoy the visits with you. Thank you very much. We'll be looking forward to talking again next week when we have our final home series of the regular season.
Yeah, we got our hands full with Kentucky, but I'm interested in seeing Hagan and take on the challenge and keep doing what he's doing, but we'll talk soon.
You got it. That's James Teague from the Teague Law Firm. You can give him a call at 479-877-1688. That's 479-877-1688. Also online at teague-law.com. It's the Teague Law Firm. If they can't help you, they'll talk baseball.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Try the new Traveler Whiskey, a Chris Stapleton and Harlan Wheatley collaboration. A great buy. Also, Hard Truth, Sweet Mash, Bourbon, and Rye are available. Only at Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Halftime, time to wrap things up here. Hey, Darvin Ham has been relieved of his duties, Matt. Lakers will be looking for a new head coach, and there is no surprise about that, huh?
Never too early for some smoked ham. It's kind of a I saw this stat on LeBron James's last eight coaches. Only two of them are still coaching in the league right now.
Yeah,
one of them being Spo. LeBron's really a player coach, player agent. It's really kind of I don't know if it's. Is it, when does it become too much of a hassle or too much of a thing? You know, he's still a G, but he's. I mean. Is he going to go pick his coach? You just say, hey, LeBron, who do you want? You want your buddy? Who do you want to coach?
And it's somebody that might sour. Fault. Somebody might, he may end up souring on pretty quickly anyway. I mean, can he go pick a general manager to select his son in the draft? Why not just be a player coach by now? What about that? When's the last player coach in the NBA? And why can't it not be LeBron James? Right? I mean, it would only make sense. Is it too big of a job to be an NBA coach when it feels like things are run by the stars anyway in a lot of cases? Gonna have to have a player coach at some point. LeBron would be the right guy.
Well,
or at least would make sense.
I saw somewhere, so the Lakers won their title. They had Rajon Rondo, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame point guard. He probably won't make it, probably on the cusp, but saw where they're looking at Trae Young as being. Now, he's not a defensive guy, but he's a point guard, and that's you gotta have a point guard on your squad. He's a high, I don't, you know, he's okay. He does shoot the three a little bit deep for me. He's an all-star. I mean, he's a very high-level caliber player. I like my point guards to be a little more Drew Holiday-ish, you know, have a little more defense in you.
Well, I feel like that's the next thing. Now, I'd expect at some point you get the commitment from Adutero, 6'8", 220-pound power forward who played at Kentucky last year. But after that, like, I wonder if things are quiet about it. You know, so you never quite know who can be, you know, who's about to visit until you see them, you know, pop up on their Instagram and let you know where they are, if DJ Wagner's the next, because out of all the positions right now that you don't have one for basketball, and of course there's going to be one on the way at some point, it's point guard.
We saw what it was like last year without one.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was no good.
Where Khalif Battle narrowed it down to three schools, and K-State, I believe, was on there. They've been making some moves. Kansas State might be making a run. They were pretty good.
Did they just get Bayfall?
Yeah, did they get Bayfall? And I saw Villanova was on a short list too. I was trying to think of the third team. I mean, Khalif's a high level college guard.
Hey, the guy can score.
Yeah, he can.
Almost as good as anybody in the SEC.
Maybe it was Kansas is who I saw with Hunter Dickinson and the kid from Alabama. You know, because he's thinking Kansas right now, I think, is the preseason favorites to cut down the nets.
I just don't know if Battle was going to be a guy who could pick his shot here at Arkansas any longer. It's a little different than it was last year. Hey, I want to thank Matt Jones, you, of course, Matt, and Matt Jones, who runs KSR, for hospitality, and all the folks at Kentucky Sports Radio for welcoming me into KSR Bar and Grill. Hey, if you ever come for baseball, you come. They don't play bass football for the next 2 years, but if you visit Lexington when the Hogs play them in basketball, it's a good place to come. They got good food. They're good people. They're not going to give you too much crap either about being a Razorback fan.
Let's go baseball.
Yeah, let's go baseball. Sounds good to me. 5:30 for first pitch. 5:00 for the dugout show. So I'm going to get over to Kentucky Proud Park and see Matt. You think they're actually going to let me in the stadium today?
Better bring out your lanyard.
I'm going to have to, like, flash my ID. Do I need a passport? I need a credential, and I need my driver's license and a canceled check. That's halftime for your Friday. Hope you have a great rest of the day. For Matt Jones, for the C-Unit, I'm Phil. Get up, get out, and get better.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.